It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
There. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Friday, April 10th, here on Felger and Maz. Friday means only one thing. It means it's agenda-free, right, Maz?
Agenda-free.
Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Maz and I coming to you on remote. Big Jim Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios. How are you hanging in there, Big Jim?
Just another day, Mike.
Okay, babe. Okay. What we do is we call it agenda-free because it's all up to you. You set the agenda with your wonderful, concise phone calls that are preferably from a landline, and if not, you're then holding the phone like a pizza, and you're speaking directly into the speaker without putting the phone up to your ear and using it like a phone, because what's the last thing cell phones were meant for, Maz?
Talking.
Phoning. They were not meant for phoning, so you have to hold it like a pizza. Anything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to, you know the drill. As soon as Jimmy is done disinfecting and wiping down the hounds, they will be released at 617-779-0985. We open the segment, though, with opening thoughts. Maz Murray, who wants to go first?
You go.
Sure. So last night after the wife and I watched our stories, and she went up to bed, I was desperately flipping around trying to find something to watch, like most people are. And I happened upon the Eagles-Giants game from December of 2010 on the NBC Sports National Channel. They've been playing, like, best of games recently. And some of them just, it hasn't just been playoff stuff. It's been, you know, marquee games from the past. And I realized, I was like, oh, I know this game. This is the DeSean Jackson punt return to win it. Old man Coughlin has an absolute meltdown in his idiot punter game. Like, that I remembered. And I figured I'll tune into this. I'll watch this. I'll get me a taste of some of that old sports schadenfreude that I love and I miss dearly, because F the Giants and F that miserable grump Coughlin forever. I had nothing to do. I'll put this on. But what I had forgot about that game is just how big and hilarious of a meltdown this was by the Giants in such a short amount of time, and how the fans in that building were just as complicit in the catastrophe that was taking place on the field. It was week 15. Winner of that game was going to have a one-game lead in the NFC East. Philly scores four unanswered touchdowns in 7 minutes and change. Like, the final 7 minutes, 20-some-odd seconds, it's bang, 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 and that's it. And that includes that punt return to win it. And a decade later, watching this, you can still feel the pressure building on the Giants. You can feel the tightening of the crowd with every score, that brutal grumble of nervousness and the butt tightening and the despair that you can hear from a crowd when they realize, like, oh my God, this is going to hell. This is all going to hell, which is torturous to be a part of. Game 7, period 1, Bruins, Blues, Stanley Cup final last year, same thing. Like, oh my God, this is all going to hell. I want to die. But if you're not part of it, oh, it's just the best. It's so delicious to be a part of. And that's when it hit me, watching that final 7-odd minutes of that fourth quarter. That meltdown, that Eagles comeback, when guys like DeSean Jackson were clearly feeding off of it, if you watched it last night, you remember this, or look it up on YouTube, he knew he was going to return that kick for the game-winning score. Body language alone. He wanted it. He knew it. He felt the pressure, build it on the Eagles. The Eagles got confidence, and all of it was fueled, much of it, rather. I mean, the players, obviously, are part of this, but a lot of that, it's fueled by the crowd, both negatively for the Giants, positively for Philadelphia. And without the crowd, a historic game like that and a finish like that, it doesn't happen. It doesn't play out like that. Absolutely no shot. And it further solidified my feeling that's changed this week, in that I don't want the sports without the fans. I don't. It would be too weird aesthetically. It would negatively affect the product. There wouldn't be as much pressure. And some notorious pukers would love that. David Price, Tuukka Rask, others. I don't want it. I don't want it. I can't have it. Do it right or don't do it at all. Because without the fans and the added pressure and the paranoia that emanated from them in a building like that, like in that game, you don't get results like that game that I watched last night. You don't get 28-3, the Patriots comeback on Atlanta. So you don't get those type of historic results. And I now feel that way. Like, no fans, no games. I don't want it.
Okay. I hope you don't get your wish, because I don't feel that way. You know what I mean? What you're describing is the benefit of fans in the stands, which we all agree. The question is really, you want that or nothing, you know? So you'll take nothing.
Yeah, I think I want it right or not at all. I've come around on that. It'd be too weird. And I would, as much as I've said a few weeks ago, like, nope, no asterisks, because I'm so desperate for it, and I'm desperate for sports, I'd have to put the asterisks on. Because chokers would have a free ride here. Like, I don't want that. It would be negatively affected to me.
Okay, Maz?
So at the end of the day, look, just quickly, I want the games, but I think we all sometimes can conveniently forget how big of a factor the crowd is. That's it. USA Today, Bob Nightingale had the latest scenario for Major League Baseball, exploring possible ways that they could play games this spring without fans. His realignment, the one that he heard, rather, from sources in Major League Baseball, have divisions based on where the teams train in spring training, meaning the Florida teams stay in Florida, the Arizona teams stay in Arizona, and then you divide it up geographically. So the Red Sox would end up in a division with the Minnesota Twins, the Atlanta Braves, Tampa Bay, and the Orioles, all of whom train relatively close to where the Red Sox are. Okay? Now, Mike, do you like this idea?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Jim Murray, do you like this idea?
Nah.
Okay, I hate it, and I'll tell you why. Okay, I'll tell you why. I don't mind the mixing up of the divisions. I don't mind that at all. In fact, I think baseball should be doing this sort of stuff this spring, mixing it up a little bit and getting different opponents. I just hate the idea that half of them are in Arizona and half of them are in Florida. I think that that's ridiculous.
Why?
Because spring training in Florida, believe me when I tell you, sucks. It's awful. Arizona is the place for spring training. It's set up way, way better. It's a perfect setup, in fact. Short drives to all the games. And even though you'd have teams playing in their divisions relatively close to one another, you're still going to have to drive around to play games in Florida. I'm thinking about it from a logistical standpoint. You could take this same plan with the same divisional alignment and put it in Arizona and minimize the stress on everybody and the strain on everybody. So it's not the mixing up of the divisions that bothers me. Why do they have to stay in Florida? Florida sucks. It's awful. Arizona's way better for spring training. Move everybody out there.
So the reason I like it, Maz, is because I think it's more realistic to get the players to agree and everyone to agree. And it does make more logistical sense in the respect of, instead of picking up, how many teams are in Florida? 16, 18, 14, somewhere in there.
It's I think more than half now are in Arizona.
Okay, so, I mean, whatever that number is, instead of picking up 14 odd teams and having them move their entire base of operation to another part of the country, that's a big undertaking. If you keep the Florida teams in Florida, they have their home stadiums, they have their home offices. Most of those players, Maz, as you know, have off-season homes, or they've rented a nice place for spring training. They're set up down there. The thing about the quarantine in the bubble city is, it's, you know, as we've discussed here with Chris Sale and others, it's going to be hard to get those players to agree to it. But if they get to stay in their off-season home, where they most of them have it, or a house that they've rented for spring training, and they just extend the and extend out the lease on their rented home or whatever, and they get to go to their clubhouse and their stadium and go home to their family and their house, and maybe it's not a full quarantine, which is going to tie into something else we're going to talk about today, you know, the loosening up of the guidelines across the board. I just think that makes a heck of a lot more sense than, and I know Florida blows, of course, so I mean, nothing's perfect, right? Arizona's better than Florida. But you tell me, having those teams stay in their home areas in a crappy Florida, or picking the whole kit and caboodle, the whole mishpucha up and taking them to Arizona to be quarantined in a hotel, I think it makes more sense for the Florida teams to stay in Florida.
Well, look, I like the Arizona setup. I think that's perfect, and I'm not overly concerned about, you know, making the players comfortable. And I'm not saying that that's not important. I'm just telling you that from a baseball standpoint, put them all in the same place. That's a better way to do it.
So, and just more things I love about this, you know, are you outraged? Or are you put off by the new divisional alignment?
No. In fact, I told you, I'm okay with shaking it up a little bit for a year to see what it looks like. And I think baseball should do more of this.
Your division, the Red Sox division? Oh, my God. Gag me with a spoon. So boring. More Minnesota Twins baseball in Fort Myers? Like, that's not what we're looking for. The Atlanta Braves? Like, obviously, again, the most irrelevant. No team has won more and had less people care about them than the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves, to me, when the Atlanta Braves come on the TV, you know what that means to me? Nap time. Nap. I nap when Atlanta comes on. Never mind Baltimore. So that's a wretched division, but... Well, I don't know if you have a chance to win it. Atlanta's pretty good. So, like, you have a boring division, but it's different. And I think for the Red Sox standpoint, they get to play at JetBlue Park, which is like Fenway. They get to stay at their homes that they stay in Fort Myers anyway during spring training, their clubhouse, their operation, their home offices. I think that makes more sense for them than schlepping out to Arizona. I also like it, just from a Brewers fan standpoint, their division becomes Milwaukee, San Diego, Seattle, Texas, Kansas City. I'm like, I love that. Yeah, to get the Brewers away from the Cardinals and the Cubs and that, like, it's a pretty competitive division they're in. Like, I love the thought of that competitively if I'm a Brewers fan, but it depends, you know, what kind of team you are. If you're the Yankees, your division in the Grapefruit League would become Yankees, Phillies, Blue Jays, Tigers, Pirates. It's a pretty easy division for them, I think.
They'd win 120 games.
So, as Nightingale says, what you would do is the Florida teams would play in Florida, the Arizona teams would play in Florida. You could still play 12 games apiece in their division, 6 games apiece against other teams in the state, and then the winner of each league would play each other in the World Series in November in their respective dome stadiums. In Arizona, you have Chase Field, where the Diamondbacks play, and in Florida, you have the Marlins Stadium in Miami or the Tampa Stadium in Tampa, which is where, oh, by the way, you can stage more Florida games, Maz. Like, I envision Tampa and Miami hosting 2 games a day, a matinee game and then a night game. And every day during this thing, that stadium's holding 2 games because, as I know, callers are going to call up and tell us, it rains in Florida every day in the afternoon. We know. We got it. It's hot in Florida and it's hot in Arizona and it rains in the afternoon. We got it. And if you play hockey in the summer, you might have some bad ice. Got it. Understood. Got it. Okay. But you play 4 games a day, essentially, at the Trop and in Miami. And I just think, Maz, I just think logistically, I know Florida blows. That makes more sense. And I think the players are more apt to go for it. That's why I like it.
Yeah, again, you're making it sound easier than it is, though. Because you say, okay, 2 games a day in Miami and Tampa. So originally, where were those teams driving from to play those games? Because they're not all interdivision or intra-division games. Some of those teams are going to be driving from the opposite coast or from north to south or what have you. So yeah, this is the part I don't like about it, is that they're going to spend more time on buses, more times commuting. It's not convenient. Arizona's convenient.
No, you fly. You fly. You don't have to. This is the regular season now. You don't need to bus. You fly. You fly from Tampa to Miami. You fly from Clearwater to Miami. You fly from, you know, wherever, Timbuktu to West Palm. You fly.
These teams. You go to Arizona, you don't need planes at all.
Okay. Right. I mean, believe me, if all the teams had spring trainings in Arizona, that would be a no-brainer. But I think the reason they're doing this, Maz, is because the Chris Sales and those Florida teams, the non-Arizona teams of the world, are saying, why do we have to go to Arizona? Why don't we just stay in Florida? And so, like, I don't know if they'll get the teams and the players to agree to it. So that's Maz's opening take. I love this proposal. I want to talk more about it. I want to weigh in on Michael Lombardi and Tua. And if we read into Mike Lombardi and his commentary on the Patriots, is there something building on Tua to the Patriots? I want to get to that. I want to get to the whole trend line of sports maybe coming back, maybe the trend line of all of us coming back. You'll hear from Anthony Fauci coming back, and we'll take your phones. They are open. They've been wiped down. Please join us at 617-779-0985 to you on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So, Dr. Fauci, when you start talking about that progress toward normalization, can you envision a summer at this point, based on the models, where people are going back to beaches, people are going to baseball games, weddings are happening, reunions are happening? Is that in the cards right now?
It can be in the cards, and I say that with some caution, because, as I said, when we do that, when we pull back and try to open up the country, as we often use that terminology, we have to be prepared that when the infections start to rear their heads again, that we have in place a very aggressive an effective way to identify, isolate, contact, trace, and make sure we don't have those spikes that we see now. So the answer to your question is yes, if we do the things that we need to do to prevent the resurgence.
Okay, it's Anthony Fauci again, head of the infectious disease arm of the federal government. You hear him often, see him often. Poor guy's voice has gone hoarse from all the talking. But be that as it may, I think he gave people hope there. Can you envision a summer where beaches, baseball games, weddings are back open? He says it's possible. It can happen. But other things have to be in place first, which is fine. Okay, if they're not in place, they're not in place and we don't do it. If they're in place, then I want these leagues to have a plan ready to roll. And I think, you know, the fans in the stands is still a long shot. Is still a long shot, Murray, unfortunately. But I personally feel it's important that we all do everything we can to work, to earn, to grind the gears, to do everything we can. So whether it's working from home, creating controlled environments, just working amongst yourself without ancillary people, social distance, whatever it takes, we all should be doing whatever it takes to do our business. And if baseball, if that means playing games in Florida and Arizona in empty stadiums, then so be it. That's what they should do, and I'm glad they're trying. And I'm glad that there's a glimmer of hope. I think there's a glimmer of hope. Maz doesn't like the two-state thing. I just think that is an easier chance, Maz. The reason I like it, and, you know, I like Arizona too. I'm not against Arizona. I love the idea when that came up. I just think you're going to meet considerable resistance from players saying, I don't want to be away from my family for 4.5 months. I got to schlep my family to Arizona for 4.5 months. You know, we're all in Florida. We're all in Florida. Why don't we play at JetBlue? It's empty. My family's at the house in Fort Myers. We're all here. And I just think you have a better chance of getting the players to agree to that. That's all.
So that part of it, look, that part of it's probably right. I mean, you know, I don't know how many families will stay full time in spring training anyway. I guess some of that is going to depend on other variables or whatnot. I'm just telling you, logistically, Arizona works way better. So I know you're moving half the teams in the big leagues. And the only thing that concerns me a little bit about the new format is that now you're mixing American League and National League, which in some ways I like. But the, you know, you have teams that have built their rosters based on whether or not they're going to have a DH. Now, everybody has an extra roster spot this year. Maybe it's less of an issue than it's been in the past. But, you know, I just wish they'd go, everybody have the DH and eliminate this bull crap. But anyway,
well, the story says, you know, it will.
It does. Okay.
Yeah, the story says.
I missed that detail.
The DH will be universally implemented as well in this. So there will be no pitchers hitting. The DH will be effective in all games in this format. So that one's addressed there, Maz. As promised, to the phones. Aaron in Hopedale on this story. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi. So, Maz, I completely agree with you about sending all the teams to Arizona because I think it's ridiculous for the teams like the Red Sox.
I tell you to hold it like a pizza and you go do that to me. And you
work.
Go do that to me. The only thing I don't like in this story, the proposal, was this paragraph. Nightingale says, you know, there could still be division winners and wild card winners, perhaps adding two more wild card teams to each league, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with expanding the playoffs. If there's a shorter season, put more teams in the postseason, I'm fine with. But then he says this line, or a postseason tournament with all 30 teams, at which point I say, hell no! No way! Then you turn the whole regular season into a glorified spring training? No! No, no, no! If you're not, I can bring myself to watch games in empty stadiums, unlike Murray. I'm okay with that, but they got to mean something. Now we're going to play 100 baseball games that mean absolutely nothing with a 30-team tournament? If that's the case, baseball can go F itself. The 30-team tournament, I absolutely hate.
I like the idea of it, but all those, you know, the prior 100 games are completely useless. I guess you got to get yourself in game shape as you go along, but cut that in half and have 50 to get ready and then play that tournament.
Wait, hold on, a 50-game exhibition season?
Yeah, just so they get ready. I don't know. 30, 10,
no,
I don't care, whatever it is. I think the idea of the tournament is actually pretty cool.
Well,
and you would have a 16 seed like the Detroit Tigers against the 1 seed Nationals, and that'd be pretty good.
If you want to create like a 100-game tournament somehow, I don't know, like the, you know, like the English Premier League, their whole regular season is just one full round robin for the championship. There's no playoffs. Like, fine, I'll do something like that if you want to come up with a format that fits that. But I'm not playing 50, 60 exhibition games. Hell, I'm not into any of this practice stuff. You know, this NBA horse thing can go F itself. These, you know, the Tiger Phil thing can go. I'm not watching a practice thing. It's got to be for something. It's got to be for actual stakes. And it's going to be different. Of course it's going to be different. And it's not going to be as good. Of course it's not going to be as good. But it's got to be for something. A 30-team tournament? Hell no. Sorry. No, that one I feel strongly about. Let's see. Mike in the truck, he joins us next on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, there's been discussions on how they could potentially continue the NHL and NBA seasons, but have there been any decisions made on what they're going to do if they can't continue? Like, are they still going to give out awards or trophies or anything?
So why, you want the President's Trophy?
Well, I mean, it would be one thing to hand out the President's Trophy and, like, you know, Selke and stuff. I don't think they should hand over, you know, like the Stanley Cup. Like, that wouldn't feel right.
Okay, so I agree, Mike, but I think they should hand out everything else. So if you care about this, I normally don't. I could give two poops. But the NBA should hand out a league MVP. The NHL should hand out the Hart, Vezina, and President's Trophies and all those, and in which case you'd win some of those. I really don't care, but I think they probably should. They've played enough games where you can determine who the most valuable player is.
All the stuff you're talking about are regular season awards. So those are fine. Like, I mean, but again, like, why waste any time? You know, I suppose the players would care about MVP and stuff like that. There's money at stake and incentive clauses and those sorts of things. But the public, if there's no champion, what's the point?
Yeah. Here's Matt in the car for Maz. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, fellas, first time, long time. Listen, I spit up my mask. I wasn't even wearing one when I heard Maz was so upset about having the guys take more flights and drive around in Florida. Come on, Maz. What are you talking about? that's a no-brainer to take the entire operation from Florida into Arizona. I get what you're saying, but these guys are millionaires. They're starting to sound like David Price complaining about taking a couple more flights. I'll hang up and let you guys discuss.
Okay,
so I don't know which side he's supporting there. What I'm saying is I like Arizona better because logistically it makes more sense. And, Mike, just quickly, my point on the DH is not whether some teams will use and some teams not. It's that we're already through the off season, and the American League teams and the National League teams build their rosters a certain way. Brock Holt has more value in the National League than he does in the American, for example, because he's a utility guy that can play multiple positions. That's my only point. Now, I'm not telling you that's a deal breaker on that. I just think logistically, if keeping these guys quarantined is a significant factor, then Arizona works better.
So I just don't think a full quarantine is going to work, Mass. I mean, I want it to, and I think they should try it. Like, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying practically, when you have a guy like Chris Sale come out and say, I'm not going to talk to my family through a fence for 4.5 months. Like, I think that gives you insight into their thinking. And I think, look, I don't agree with them. Like, I think, for lack of a better term, they should suck it up and go to work. Like, you know, like everybody's having to do sacrifice. But be that as it may, if that's their view, are you going to get them to agree to do it? But would you get them agree to say, okay, well, I'll just go back to Florida. You've got a home there. You've got an off-season home there. You've rented a home there for spring training. Extend the lease. Bring your family. It's not going to be a strict quarantine. Like, you're not going to be – it's not a hamster cage where we're going to have you under, you know, gunpoint if you leave. We're all going to – you know, and this ties into something we talked about earlier in the week. We'll test like crazy. We're all going to promise ourselves that we're not going to expose ourselves to other people. We're just going to go from the stadium to home, and your family's not going to interact. You're not going to interact, and you know people are going to violate it, but you try and do an honor code. But as part of it, what you say is someone's going to slip through the cracks and test positive. We can't shut the league down if that's the case. If someone gets sick, you're just going to get sick, and you're going to recover, and we're going to keep playing, right? And if you don't want to do it, then you don't have to do it. Because I've heard people say, well, if it's not safe for the fans, why is it safe for the players? Maybe it's not. Then don't do it. Then vote against it and shut the season down and give up your pay for the rest of the year. You either got to be on board or not. But I think there's just a better chance of getting to do it if you let those Florida teams stay in Florida. I also think it mixes up the poop pile a little bit more, Mass, doesn't it? If, you know, if they have whole new divisions and whole new leagues, and, you know, if they're all in Arizona, do they keep the AL East and the AL Central and the AL West? It's all sort of the same thing. You know, but in Florida and Arizona, it's split. It's totally different, which I, you know, part of me kind of likes.
Okay, so again, I like that aspect of it too, but there's really no reason you can't do that in Arizona. I mean, again, use it as an opportunity to jumble things up a little. So the fact that the teams are all in the same place, so what? Like, again, you're using robotic or electronic strike zone, aren't you? You're going to introduce new elements into this anyway, so why not really shake it up?
Okay, it's Agenda Free Friday. Bob Nightingale, historian, USA Today. I loved, and I think it's totally real, because one of the reasons is Tony La Russa basically went on record as saying they've consulted him on this very idea. So La Russa basically admits it, and he had a good quote at the end of this story. La Russa said, there are so many workable possibilities. Why give up on any alternative until it's clear it can't work? What we can't do is give up. Perfect. Exactly. Exactly. Why rule anything out until it's obvious it can't work? And the last thing I want anyone doing is giving up. Never mind the leagues or us or any business owner or whatever. And so baseball is just trying to save their business, which they should be doing. And not that it's going to go out of business if they don't have a season, but they're trying to save the business as best they can, which they should be doing. And this last proposal, I like. It's kind of fun. It's one of the items on an Agenda Free Friday. Remember, everything from the week, all up to you and your calls. We'll get right back to you after Murray's update.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
But Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a patriot for life? In other words...
No, absolutely not. No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different. And, you know, there's things, there's ways for me to grow and evolve in a different way that I haven't had the opportunity to do. That aren't right or wrong, that's just right for me.
Okay, Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week, and Brady and Howard Stern was definitely part of the week. Back to your phones, Alan in California, what do you got for us on the Patriots?
Great week, guys. Well, Belichick has the depleted coaching staff from the coaching end of the Palace Cube. And so I'm wondering, with Slater and Edelman and just those types of guys being Belichick guys, do you see them on the coaching staff in the future?
Sure. Yep. Some of those guys, Slater feels like a future coach, 100%.
No question. He'll
need, you know, he might need the money. He might need the job because he does well for what he does, but, you know, he's not one of these guys making $10 million bucks a year. I don't know if Devin McCourty will need it, you know, after making the kind of money he's made. But, yes, they're quasi-coaches, and all the more reason why Bill had to bring those guys back, Maz. He's losing all the guys on his staff as well.
To me, McCourty was a huge one. Slater's another one, too, though. But you couldn't, you know, given the offense and defense being on the field as much as they are and the influence that those kinds of players can have, you couldn't lose both McCourty and Brady. And, you know, look, if history's any indication, Devin McCourty will coach if they hire Jason on the staff. That's how it's going to work.
Eric's in New York on the MLB stuff. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys, how are you? For
good.
Baseball, if they're going to experiment, each game, 2 hours and 30 minutes, you have to go at least 7 innings. And what you can do with this, if they're going to reuse stadiums in between, you know you're getting out of there 2 hours and 30 minutes. You could sell a package to Fox or ESPN, 3 games on the weekends, 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and Saturday, and 7 o'clock. And then in between games, let Pearl Jam come out, and Felger, you can just wipe
okay,
down.
Okay, I'm going to let you go before you're too goofy, but I would, if another benefit to having some games in Florida or keeping half the league in Florida, Maz, is the Trop and that stadium in Miami. And you can have, you know, 2 games a day at those places. And I know before you call me up, you have to wipe them down and disinfect. You know, got it. You know, yes, got it. But the idea is by this point, we've gotten testing or we've gotten treatment, or we've flattened the curve, and these players have all agreed that just like there's a risk of you suffering a concussion or you having a risk of suffering a torn ACL, there's going to be a slight risk that you make, you know, catch cold, catch the coronavirus, catch this illness, and they're just going to have to accept it. And I just think, because again, without inviting the calls on it, the climate's an issue, especially with the rain. I mean, that's why Miami had to build that stadium in the first place, because the rainouts there were through the roof. The more games you can play in those domes, the better.
Oh, look, totally. Again, that makes a lot of sense to do it that way. And look, Mike, eventually we're going to get to the point. The whole challenge at the moment, people mistake this. It's not about eradicating the virus entirely before we can get on the field. It's about getting it under control so that when there are cases, they can be handled, and then we, like they would any other medical case that pops up along the way. That's what the issue is. So when people say, Well, if it can't, if it's not safe for the fans, how can it be safe for the players? The whole point is you're exposing fewer people. That's the point. That's the idea. You got fans next to one another, shoulder to shoulder, 40,000 of them in a stadium. And as we discussed with the soccer game in Italy, you just cannot have that kind of environment because that is inviting rapid spread. That's the point. You can have players on the field, and if a few guys get it, you quarantine them and you minimize the damage. That's the point.
The whole fan thing is a whole different story to me. I mean, that's like a whole different conversation. And I mean, I do feel like it's not realistic on that end for a while. And so I'm not spending much time on that. What I think is worthwhile is, what can you do? Like, you know, just look at our station. We can't have more than a few people in the building at a time. So we've all sort of adjusted, and we're all sort of working for and doing whatever we can to keep the show going. The show must go on, right? So, and your business, if you're a business owner, if you're a restaurant and you can't have people in your business, so you're doing everything you can to keep your business going by having takeout service and curbside service and delivery or whatever it takes. So baseball and hockey and basketball are doing the exact same thing.
Exactly.
Which is what they should do, what we all should be doing.
But there are people who are trying to, you know, say that, well, if you can't have fans, how can you have players? And to me, those people don't get it. It's a totally different environment. That's why.
If you can't have a radio studio, how can you have a radio show?
Exactly.
Well, you try and figure it out. You do the best you can. You do the best you can. We've got Dean in Shrewsbury. He's up next with Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. What do you got for us today, Dean?
Felger, I think you way undervalue mid-round picks in the NBA. Just look at the Lakers. They have two of our mid-round picks, Rondo and Bradley. They're contenders, and those guys have lasted in the league more than 10 years.
Big deal.
That's the reason that the Lakers were the hottest team in the league before everything got shut down? Those bums?
You guys can address it, or, you know, I can take that.
What do we do? Do you want to make a case for Ben Bentel or Abdel Nader? Like, stop it. Mid-round picks in the league don't matter.
I mean, they really – I mean, I wouldn't say – Rondo was a first-round pick, though, I think. He was a late first. But be that as it may.
Yeah,
you know, I wouldn't consider those second-round picks or late first-round picks. I would consider them veteran retreads. Veteran retreads is what they are, no matter what round they were taken or where they were taken. Yeah, but it's agenda-free. We're allowed to go wherever you want. Case in point right there, our guy in Shrewsbury. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Reopening. Can you talk about your call with the sports commissioners? Did you say you'd like to see people back, fans back in arenas in
August? Absolutely. I want fans back in the arenas. Whenever we're ready. I mean, as soon as we can, obviously. and the fans want to be back too. You know, they want to see basketball and baseball and football and hockey. They want to see their sports. They want to go out onto the golf courses and breathe nice, clean, beautiful, fresh air. No, the fans. I can't tell you a date, but I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. But and you know, we're not going to have separation for the rest of our times on the planet. We need it for this period of time, but eventually people are going to be able to occupy those seats in arenas next to each other, like we have for all of my life and all of your life. They want to sit next to each other at restaurants. They don't want to be, you know, 6 feet away. And some restaurant man called up. He said, you know, I'm worried because I have a small restaurant with not too many seats. I think he said 120. And he said, if I practice what this is, I'm down to 30 seats. I can't make it. I said, don't worry about it. That's for a short period of time. You'll be back to your number of seats. We can't do that. Otherwise, you're making everything. That means your stadium is half the size of what it was a month ago. No, no. They're going to be close together, but they're going to be breathing air that's not infected, that's not going to kill people. Please.
This was President Donald Trump on Saturday. Again, Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week, and we spent some time on that on Monday. And that was, he did that press conference after the conference call with commissioners across the league. Maz, are you chuckling about that? What do you got?
Because every time he speaks, I hear Murray. That's why every time he speaks, don't go putting words in my mouth, lady.
When you really sit down and listen to one of his briefings, he's like a caricature of himself.
He really
is. I mean, it's again, I listened to an hour and a half of it last Saturday. It was gripping in some ways. But anyway, so I feel like since that call, though, with the commissioners, that I feel there's been positive momentum. And I do. And not that there's like, you know, we're really close to it or anything's a done deal. I just feel like the arrow is ticked up since that call. And, you know, another reason I know this, Maz, or I feel this, is that all the stuff that's coming out are stories and proposals about how to keep it going. I'm not reading anything about how do we shut it down, right? Which is going to be a whole nother thing, too, because certainly the players are going to give up salary, but they're going to say, well, you have to give up profit margin, too. You know, our revenues are collectively bargained and evenly split, so the losses have to be collectively bargained and evenly split, right? So if they cancel the leagues and leave all that money on the table, that's a big negotiation between players and owners. I'm not hearing stories about that. I'm hearing stories about Arizona or Florida, regular season games or straight to the playoffs, Las Vegas, North Dakota. So I mean, like, I take this all as good news that they're trying to figure it out and they're not discussing how to shut it down. They're discussing how to keep it going, which is what I'm glad. I think they should be doing.
Yeah, look, and I know we talked about this earlier in the week, the whole idea that Trump is working with them on something, okay? He's working with them on something. Maybe it's the testing, that you guys do your part. You do what you can, get all your ducks in a row, put your plans in place so that you're ready to go when the time comes, and we'll make sure that you have the ability to test daily or as frequently as you need to. We'll take care of that part of it for you, or maybe there's some sort of financial incentive. I don't know. But what I do think that a significant part of that message from him to the commissioners was keep at it. You emphasized the message that Tony La Russa had in that Nightingale story about the important thing is we can't give up. We got to keep going. Yep. And I think that that is a significant part of what that call was about. Like, look, be ready to go. Okay, we need these games. People need these games. We need the diversion. We got to get back to normal life. So keep at it.
La Russa, there's so many workable possibilities. Why give up on any alternative until it's clear it can't work? What we can't do is give up. Exactly. Round of applause. Real quick, in terms of more on this, the NHL, I was heartened to hear, as we talked about this yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, about how I really think it's important that they come back and play some regular season games as opposed to an expanded playoff field or play-in rounds. Pierre LeBrun and others are reporting that it's pretty much a consensus among NHL players and owners that they want some regular season games back. LeBrun writes that NHL favors 2019-20 resumption format that includes regular season games. He quotes Bill Daly, the assistant commissioner. We understand that with what will obviously be a lengthy break between games, players are going to want to have an ability to reacclimate themselves to NHL competition before having to play games that could end their seasons. Daly told The Athletic on Thursday. I'm sure our managers feel the same way. We get it, and we will certainly go to great lengths to accommodate those concerns. In fact, writes LeBrun, according to a few team sources, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman also reiterated to governors on Monday that the league's preference above all other scenarios and formats being discussed is to play regular season games before the playoffs if time allows. And if 82 games is impossible, then 78, 76, 74 games would all be options. He breaks out, why is it important to play regular season games? One, many players are in favor of playing some regular season games in order to be able to ramp up into game shape before the playoffs, easing concerns of injuries. Number two, it would help even out games played among bubble teams and democratically decide the 16-team playoff field in a more normal fashion rather than decide between points percentage or rolled back games played in the current frozen standings. And, you know, let me just stop here. You know, this one's important to me, too, that I think I don't want an expanded playoff field. I don't want the Canadians, who have the 24th best record in the league or something like that, to be in any sort of postseason format. I think that's absurd. I think the only teams that have a beef of being closed out of the playoffs are the bubble teams. So even out the games played however you can, and then pick your 16 teams and go. Now, people emailed me immediately on that or texted me and said, well, you understand that that's going to be hard to do because maybe the Bruins are playing their 73rd game, but the Panthers are playing their 69th game, and then that means the Bruins are going to play next. So, before you even get started with that, can I just say this? This is why we have nerds. This is why nerds exist. We give them the teams. We give them the games played. We give them what we need, and then the nerds lock themselves into a room with a computer and mac and cheese, and then they come out with a, you know, with what we need, which is how many games each team is going to play. Some teams are going to have to play more than others to even out the games played. Okay, so maybe those teams with extra games having to be played have to play each other extra times. I don't know. I'm not a nerd. We give it to the nerds, and they go into a room with a computer, and then they come out and they say, "Here's the schedule." So can we just agree to that before you say, "Well, what about this? What about that?" This is why we have nerds. Thank you. Number three, another reason why they want to even out the games played in the regular season is that it would line up the draft lottery more normally without the league having to make any hotly debated decisions. So that's a big one, too, I guess. You know, as much as you look at bubble teams towards the top, towards the playoff area, I guess there's a race for the bottom as well, right? And ping pong balls, and that's not kind of important too. So they have to even that all out for the bottom of the league as much as they do the middle of the league. And finally, the fourth reason they'd want to do it is that there are some teams whose regional TV deals have financial implications and or thresholds in which a few more regular season games could be impactful either way. That's interesting. Like, you know, to get your full contract, you have to play whatever, 76 of the 82 games. Like, do some teams have contracts written like that? They must. And so they have to get to a magic number to collect all their money. And so let's satisfy that. Let's get to that magic number, shall we? Like, I think that's a reason to play regular season games. These teams have to make money. They have to do business. And so that's another reason to do it. I'm all in favor of that.
So when you read a list like that, right, and as you're going through them, and then you get to number four, and all of a sudden it's, well, you know, a TV deal might be void if I say, oh, I see what they're doing here. They're dropping this one in the middle of the list when it's really one of the more important
factors. Number one, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I always feel like there's a method to the madness there when you're reading a list like that.
So the downsides to coming back and playing regular season games are that on clear non-playoff teams, coming back after a four-month layoff, playing six or so games, why would a player do that? That's not even far from ideal. It could be dangerous to those players. If they're good players, wouldn't they just shut it down? To which I would say, then shut it down. You don't want to play, don't play. And if that means you don't get paid, that means you don't get paid. That's an option. That's a choice you can make. No question. Says it's not ideal for players on bubble teams either. One NHL player who requested anonymity made an excellent point to me on Thursday, wrote LeBrun. For bubble teams, those small amount of regular season games would essentially be do or die. So for those players, they would be coming right back into and playing playoff level competition. You know, and you know, that is a good point, right? Like, I think they should have regular season games to ramp up to the postseason. But if you're on the bubble, you actually, for all intents and purposes, are going right into playoff style games, right? And so you're risking injury. So, I mean, that's a fair point. Except my answer to that is my answer to everything. It's not going to be perfect. Something's going to, Do you want to play or not? Because not everything's going to be satisfied, and there's going to be some inequities, and some things are going to be unfair. Yep. National League teams build their teams to have the pitcher hit, and if they do this format that we're talking about, they're going to have to use the DH. It's unfair. Do you want to play or not? Like, because not everyone's going to be satisfied. It's going to be unfair somewhere along the way to someone somewhere. Okay, so what you have to, you know, is an acceptable inequity that you just have to accept to play ball, because it's not going to be perfect and not everyone's going to be satisfied. Do you want to play or not?
Well, so that's fair. Look, that's fair. You know, I'm just saying, you know, with regard to the whole DH thing, and we don't need to relive it. I was just comparing one plan to another as to why I like one over the other. At the end of the day, I want games. Okay, so I'm willing to make sacrifices. And with regard to the NHL, and it is a good comment by the anonymous player. So he is saying, I get it. Yeah, we got to come back and we got to go 0-75 because we're fighting for our lives. My answer to that will be, well, there are going to be teams that sacrifice more than others. You know, this is a result of you finishing ninth through the first 70 games. So who's to blame for that? Like, you know, if you got to come out balls to the wall because your playoff life is at stake, well, then, you know, you could have done a hell of a lot more about that in the first 70 games.
Right. That's what you get for sucking in November.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you. Very good. And one more quick note on that. I think Darren Dreger reported, or he polled some GMs and said most GMs, I think it was 20 or 24, something like that, said they want best of five series in the playoffs for the first several rounds, all the way up to the finals, in fact. So best of five, first round, second round, even conference finals, best of five, which would be kind of cool. I'm not against it, but that's just another note. But at least they're talking about how they're going to fit it in. They're not talking about how they're going to shut it down, which I take as a positive at this point in time. All right, Agenda Free Friday, weigh in on that. I'll get to your calls. I just want to reset my Tua point real quick when we come back as well. Most importantly, no commercials here, just a quick update from Murray, and then we're right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Helpline.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.